Blog Talk Radio.
I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got that string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. I've got a song that I sing, I can make the rain.
Welcome, America, to Breaking News Journal on Air Radio, the only program in the country and in the world that works with programs and have the best guests ever. Because they're all, a lot of them are up-and-coming stars, up-and-coming in their venue, in their genre of projects, whether it's producing, directing, or whatever the case may be. And today is no exception. And I just want you to know that today's program is brought to you by the new Climax Lounge and Special Events venue in Denver, the Climax, the new Climax, and it is on 2217 Welton Street in Denver, Colorado, the Mile High City, and they do everything there, opening mic night, poetry reading, entertainment competitions, and live bands, and a lot of that will be seen live stream on Breaking News Journal, so please listen to that. Now, today we have a special guest on. His name is Carl Jackson, and we're getting ready to have him come on with us. He is a wonderful new up-and-coming director. He's doing two movies that I've been looking at that he has. One of them is called Strong Black Woman, and the other one is Southern Girls. And we're going to talk to Carl about that today and what he's doing and how you can get involved and subscribe to what he's doing today. Carl, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you doing?
I'm hanging. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. It's a pleasure having you with us today, Carl. You do so much, and you're really on the cutting edge of new media, and you know, with all the productions you're working with and the movies that you're doing. So I wanted to talk to you about those things today, showcase what you're doing, so people can get involved and promote your purchase your movies when they come on DVD, and also how to get them, make sure your movies are in on the silver screen and that they go and see them and tell everybody else how to do that. So let's talk. How did you get started?
I was laughing when you said up and coming, because I'm old.
yeah, whatever.
Like up and coming. Oh, I don't think I'm up and coming anymore.
How long have you been doing this? Because I guess it's because if I don't hear from you, I'm thinking that everybody is up and coming. So tell me how long you've been directing and everything, and let's get into that.
Well, I started basically. I did my first film when I was 19, and it had some critical acclaim. I raised like my first $100,000 to do my first film, and I was in college, and I didn't finish because I started making mm-hmm. money doing what I'm doing now. So mm-hmm. I never did. I just kept going. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of music videos and all sorts of things. So but yeah, I've been at it for a second. So but yeah, I mean, I appreciate the sentiment. Believe me.
I mean, I love to see, and I call everybody that's younger than me young, and they are doing things that I never, you know, could have dreamed of as a young person because it wasn't available to a lot of people. I think that if you came from a family that may have had money, or if you came from the entertainment industry where you had family that were already in it, then those doors could have been open to you. But what's going on now, you're hitting on a venue and on an area of directing and producing that is very, very new, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about. And then I do want to talk to you about, actually, when we get through with that, is talking about the actual films that you're doing and what you want people to do.
Yeah, I was talking to my dad about that, I guess a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, but was just talking about how, you know, when he was a teenager, you know, the thought of a black man being, you know, a filmmaker or even having a voice as a director or producer, it just would have been absurd. You know, like it just wasn't even possible. So, you know, because of new technology and the times, it's just allowed a lot of great things to happen. And I'm just excited to be a part of that, you know, because it's just it's a different time, you know. I mean, you have, you know, I remember a time when I thought Spike Lee being a filmmaker was, like, huge. To me, Spike Lee was like a Michael Jackson of film. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it was like, oh, my God, I can't believe someone black can say those things on screen. I mean, when I remember the first time I saw Boys in the Hood, John Singleton, I was a kid, and it just it blew my mind because I had had never seen black life portrayed on the silver screen. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know Compton existed. I didn't even know Inglewood existed. Like, I didn't even know that black people lived in that way. And so John Singleton opened my eyes to a lot of what black life was on the silver screen. I literally saw Boys in the Hood probably 25 times in the theaters because I had never seen anything like that.
Wow.
It was just, yeah, it was crazy. I would, every time I would get off work, I go to the theater and lied to my mom and told her I had some schoolwork to do. I had to work late, overtime. But I was going to the theater to see that movie because it blew my mind. I was like, oh, my God. I didn't know this could actually happen. You know, I didn't know that people really live this way. It just, I came from a different background, so it was just weird for me to see it. But I loved it. I embraced it. And John Singleton, Spike Lee, those two guys really, really, to me, from my generation at least, are the guys that we looked up to. Obviously, there were filmmakers before, you know, that did great things, Melvin Van Peebles, Mario Van Peebles. I mean,
yes,
you know,
yes.
The list goes on. But for me,
that's more my generation, Mario Van Peebles.
But for me, you know, exactly. But for me, Spike Lee and I guess Robert Townsend. But I really wasn't a fan of Robert Townsend. I was just such a huge fan of Spike and John that it was just like, wow, this is I've got to do this. You know what I mean? So.
I think John Singleton did some real cutting-edge things, too. I mean, because he did not only Boys in the Hood, which, you know, I do have, we do have, because I'm a movie fanatic, and so we have Boys in the Hood, and we just got through watching it about last week, my husband and I. But I love John Singleton because he got into some real deep stuff. I don't know if you ever saw Rosewood. If you haven't seen it, you know, go ahead and see it. Yeah, things like that. I like things like that. Pardon me?
Yeah. You know, I was just saying it's in my collection. Absolutely. Yeah, I love Rosewood.
Okay, let's talk about your movie, the one that you're going to have in at the silver screen. Now, are you going to have both of them in the silver screen, both Strong Black Woman as well as Southern Girls?
Well, Southern Girls came out last year in theaters, so it's old. So what you're probably seeing is advertisement for it being released on digital and on DVD. So it just came out on iTunes. You can download Southern Girls right now on iTunes, on VHX, on Amazon, and on CJC On Demand, which is the new network that we'll talk about later. So
Okay.
But yeah, Southern Girls is out now, but Strong Black Woman is coming out, God willing, next month, and we're going to release it in theaters, but also on demand, CJC On Demand. A lot of people are tired of going to the movies and paying $40-$50 and to see a movie. So I wanted to, you know, offer my film to everybody. So if you want to go to the theater to watch it, please, by all means, support it. But if you want to stay at home and watch it, you'll be able to watch it on CJC On Demand, and also you'll be able to watch it on VHX, which is an on-demand channel as well. So,
And CJC, please explain what it is so people know how to get the network and how to, you know, how they can see this.
Yeah, CJC is basically the first. I was approached by DirecTV a couple, I guess, 3 or 4 years ago to do a network. Everybody's doing networks. Oprah's got one. Diddy's got one. Everybody's got a network. But so I was approached by DirecTV to do a network, but I just wasn't coming together for me the way I thought it should, and I was having troubles with licensing and content. It was just a crazy thing. So I had this idea to basically go to the smart TVs and the smart set-top boxes. That's another whole generation of people that really don't even watch TV. They look at their internet. They're watching their computers. They're watching their cell phones. They're watching, you know, every other, I guess, platform that they get their entertainment from. It's not always television. So I wanted to open up or do a network for that crowd, and we're doing really well. We're basically on Roku, and we're about to branch off to Samsung smart TVs, Sony's smart TV. So that means if you buy the TV, you'll actually be able to get our network in the TV, and you won't have to get a cable or a box or anything to watch. You'll just be right in the TV. So so we have the 24-hour network, and we have on-demand, and then we have this new thing called CJC Home Theaters. Basically, movies that are playing in the theaters, we're going to also play it. Select titles we're going to play on the CJC home theaters, and that there's a lot of people that have home theaters. They want to show off, you know, they got the 1080 and they got the THX sound and all that. So we're trying to make it accommodating to those people. So I believe that the home theater system is going to basically be a huge competitor to the theaters. I mean, unless you're going to see an IMAX film or a movie on IMAX, or, you know, unless you want to see Avatar 2. For the most part, a lot of people are skipping going to the theaters, and they're just watching stuff on Netflix. They're watching it, you know, online. Mm-hmm. So we're basically creating, we've created, I should say, because we've been on since July 19th. We've basically created an all-in entertainment place. So 24-hour network, TV, on-demand, and theatrical films. We're basically housing it all as one thing under the CJC banner.
Wow. That's powerful. So what has the response been? I mean, what, you know, like how many subscriptions do you have, or what is the, you know, the volume of people that
we've been
are
doing
on this so far?
Yeah, we've been doing extremely well. I mean, it's just been, it's funny. We're in the UK, we're in America, we're in Canada, we're in Ireland, we're in even parts of France, Brazil, and it's funny, it's like people are loving it, man. I mean, we're getting emails left and right from people who are just, who are loving it and dying and wishing that this had happened sooner. A lot of people are cutting off their cables and kind of using this alternate route to get entertainment. We're seeing record numbers, to be honest with you, and it's kind of shocking considering that it's kind of a new concept, and, you know, I'm kind of treading waters by myself. I don't really have a ton of competition right now, which is great. Like, my biggest competition or my biggest competitor is Netflix or Hulu or, you know, one of those channels. But for the most part, I don't really have a ton of competition, so it's been really, really great for us and gratifying for us, and you know, we're exploring. You know, it's a new genre. I believe in the next 10 years, everything is going to be online. Music, movies, everything is going to be digital. You know, and so we just kind of want to be at the forefront of it and really create something unique. The world watching one television network is pretty much what we're doing. You know,
and it's
working. It's working.
See, and that's true because, you know, the cable industry is a $2.3 trillion industry. And, you know, it's time now, you know, for people to be able to get the kind of the movies or the kind of videos or anything that they want, the entertainment that they want, to be able to get it on their own terms, not have to get it in a package where you have 100 channels on and you only see one or two channels and you're paying for perversion and other kinds of things that you don't want to see and you don't want your children to see. And I think that what you're doing is very similar to what we're doing on Breaking News Journal, where we're doing the same kind of thing, not nearly on the level of what you're doing, but it is to bring clean TV and clean genres to the young, get them off of some of the trash TV that they're seeing now, because we really have to turn our children around and turn our world around. It is getting really bad.
It is, and that's one of the motivations, too, for me. It was really about trying to control what's being put out there in the airwaves. There's pretty much there's only three or four companies that really control all of media, and that's Viacom, mm-hmm. Rupert Murdoch,
Rupert Murdoch,
I think his name is,
mm-hmm.
And you know, and then maybe there's one other company that I'm not thinking of, but for the most part, they're all conglomerates. So
mm-hmm.
basically, you're getting all your news, your entertainment, everything from basically two different companies, maybe three.
Mm-hmm.
And that's scary to me. To me, that's scary.
Yes.
Because when I was a kid, I was kind of at the verge. We were at the verge of there were multiple companies, and it wasn't
mm-hmm.
as many conglomerates as they are today.
Right, right.
Now it's just all these companies are basically one. If you watch E! Entertainment or E! Hollywood, you're watching VH1. If you watch VH1, you're watching MTV. If you're watching MTV,
absolutely.
It's the same company feeding you the same stuff. And so we just wanted to kind of be at the forefront of, I think, a new revolution of companies that are going to be coming
yes.
in the next
yes.
10 years who are going to be able to put out there a little bit more control, positive things. And I think
mm-hmm.
The cable companies are scared. I mean, I'm not even going to front. I think that's probably one of the reasons why DirecTV even came after me, because, you know, maybe it was in the wind of what I wanted to do, and they wanted to kind of
mm-hmm.
put me in that
mm-hmm.
in that box. And I just was like,
mm-hmm.
no, I don't want to really do it that way. I want to do
mm-hmm.
what I feel is in my heart. And that's what
absolutely.
We're doing. My staff, I have a great team. I have a great staff. They work very hard. And, you know, they've taken my vision and taken it to the next level. I'm excited about it.
Absolutely. I'm excited about it, too. Let me ask you a question. The DirecTV people and all the people that are scared, they need to be scared, because we cut our cable about 6 months ago. I'm glad we did. And I have a Roku box, you know, and I can cut it on and look at whatever I want to, and I can buy whatever channel I want to buy, and I don't have to buy 100 of them or whatever the case may be, because there's no way any human being can watch those many channels in the first place, you know.
Exactly.
But, I mean, it's like, it's good to see someone like you out there making sure that you're seeing what's out there. You know the pulse, because your hand is on the pulse of what's going on out there. And so to be able to say, you know what, we need to do something different, and you're not going to put me in this box here. I need to do what God has called me to do, then that's where a lot of a change is going to be. I expect great things from you, and I expect to be working with you, too, as we launch our channel as well, you know, and we're not in competition, because we can share things and you do different things. We won't be in that competition. It's just another place where we can be creative and stuff like that, because the people that are joining us are people that have different things going on as well, people that are working with A&E channel and all kind of stuff like that. But everybody's tired of being into this box, you know. They're tired. You can see it all over the place. That's why there's so much going on out there. But God has blessed you with people that are coming at you to do things in their area, and you're able to say yes or no, or let's go another direction here. You know, put a lot of money behind me and let me be creative.
Yeah, that's the name of the game. I mean, it's just you know, it's for me, it's wonderful to. I love being able to say that I have 7 television shows in various
yes.
production for my network. I love saying
yes.
that I have, you know, 2 or 3 movies that are in the pipeline to
mm-hmm.
be either produced or directed from our
mm-hmm.
company. And it feels better
mm-hmm.
to say that than to say, well, I'm hoping that this deal, you know, my development deal at Warner Brothers will get me at least 1 project in the next 4 years. You know, it just feels
mm-hmm.
better to say that I'm in control of what I do, as opposed to waiting for Warner Brothers or waiting for Paramount to green light something that may or may not even get the marketing dollars behind it. So I think, you know, I don't think it's just my company. I think it's going to be several other companies that's going to be coming and doing this, you know, the same thing. It's just that it's going to be a survival of the fittest. The people who have the best product are going to keep an audience.
That's right.
The people that are just trying to copy and be, you know, trying to showboat, trying to get girls, trying to get money, they're going to fall off. And, you know, I'm just saying, because I know I'm saying, I'm serious, but there's a lot of guys, a lot of people in general that try to think, oh, yeah, I can copy this or I can copy that or I can do this, but they're doing it for the wrong reasons. You have to really, really wake up every day with the attitude of I want to be the best at this, and it requires focus. And if you chasing thongs, you ain't gonna get nothing doing this. You're gonna have to be very focused to really make a difference. And so we're a team, man. We focus, man. We're gonna do it. That's what we're doing. We're just gonna make it work.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Well, now let's talk about the strong black woman. Now, I when I first heard the title. Because I'm pretty colorblind, and when I first heard a title, you know what I thought of that movie, White Single Female.
Single white female, right.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, what is this movie about? Well, I knew based on the title, you know, what it was about, but I want you to explain a little bit about the movie and what you want everyone to do to so that movie can be on the silver screen, and what your purpose is and what you want people to do.
Yeah, no problem. Briefly, and I'll be very brief with the description, but basically the film is about a black woman who's an attorney, and she's recently married, and she's trying to figure out how to balance marriage life as well as her job. Her husband doesn't make as much money as she does, and it poses a challenge for the relationship, and it makes her question, you know, her choices, and did she make the right choice? The story basically came from my life in a way. I kind of took pieces of my life and several friends of mine who are some are famous, some are not famous, and they all had the same, you know, gripe, and that is they're young or they're middle aged, they're successful, they want to be married, but they can't find a woman that fits the criteria of what a wife is supposed to be. And it's not just any race, it's all races. And so I started, you know, looking at it and looking at the divorce rate and just all those things. And I was like, you know, there's definitely something here, but it seems like, you know, who's getting, you know, hit the hardest are black women. It seems to be they're the ones that are having to be single parents, they're having to be both mom and dad, they're having to, you know, buy the bacon and cook it. So I was like, you know, I wanted to basically investigate that whole concept of why that is, you know, and why is it that it's hard for guys like myself for us to find wives that are really wise. I'm not saying find a woman. You can find a woman all day. But to find a wife, you know, to find a wife, you know, that's something you can't teach, and that's something you can't make somebody be. You know, and so that's where the concept of the story comes from. That's the heart of it. I've got a lot of haters. I've been seeing some of the blogs and some of the people, mainly black women, that are teed off about it, thinking that I'm trying to dog black women. And it's really not that. It's a love story. It's a story about challenges and how you overcome challenges. So
why don't they see that? How come they're not seeing that?
You know what I think it is? I think there is a line between black women that get it and black women that don't. And I think that the black women that don't get it are basically they feel already threatened because they get blasted all day every day with, you know, you're too black, you're too fat, you're too ugly, you're too tall, you're too skinny. So, you know, to see something else that's coming out saying strong black woman, and though the imagery with strong black woman is she's difficult to deal with, she got an attitude, she's, you know, twisting her fingers and popping her neck, And so I think that that whole idea of strong black woman, some women might feel that it's going to be a derogatory film. But when you see the trailer, you see that she's in a relationship. You see that she's trying to figure it out. You know, you see she's basically getting bad advice from family members. And, you know, a lot of times family members that are single that can't keep no man are telling you how to run your household, how to run your family. And so
that's what it's about.
It's just about how do you be a strong black woman when everything around you is basically pushing you to be something else, or to be a statistic, or to be the stereotype, you know? And so that's really what the film is about. And so I don't know, you know, it's going to be what it is. It doesn't bother me. It makes me laugh when I read some of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, what about, what do you think of it? Are men having, because I'm thinking, I don't care what color a man is, as long as he is treating a woman right, as long as he treats her with respect or whatever the case may be, I could care less what color it is. Now, I'll give you an example. I was a single mom of three children. My husband is a professor, and he's white. Now, he took those three kids, and because of those, the way he raised, helped me raise those three children, just because he loved me, not because he didn't have to get into this. You know, he came from the Pacific Palisades, had a maid, all those different kinds of things. But he loved the spirit that I had, which was to raise my children and to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So fast forward, the boy's father, a biological father, told my husband, he said, "You raised my children." He said, now, and he's black, and he said, "You raised my children." He said, "And I have all kinds of respect for you as a man, has nothing to do with skin color, but taking my children, raising them." So I have a financial expert that's one of the top two in the country. He's always hired by HSBC and a lot of, you know, Wells Fargo and J.P. Morgan Chase and stuff like that, because he's smart. And then I have one that's, and his other son is an international fashion model. But those things would not have been realized if they would have been with their biological father, who is smart too, but he had the respect to respect my husband, and he wasn't looking at skin color, because we were raised in Denver, Colorado, where, you know, we had people of all different races around us at all times. And so we were always colorblind. So I just wanted to get your opinion about that.
You know, maybe something for a new movie. Well, you know, I wanted to do a movie, and I'm still thinking about doing a movie about mixed women, because I think what you just brought up is an interesting point. Love has no color, has no boundaries, so it makes you wonder, why is it that, you know, our race of people, black, when I say our race, meaning black, why is it such a distant, difficult thing for them to get in relationships with any color? I just happen to focus on the black story on this film because that's the film I wanted to make.
But I think that
you raise a very, very great point, and I feel that it really comes down to your husband probably saw something in you just as a woman that just basically override color. It was no reason to look at color in any way, because you just happen to be a wonderful, wonderful woman. And I think that's really what it comes down to. If you're a wonderful person, or a good person, or a good-hearted person, the things that you desire will come to you. At the same time, I do think that there are a lot of black women who don't necessarily want to marry outside the race. So this film is, for me, is for them. You know, it's like, I've had several women tell me, "I know he's a good guy, but he's Chinese. Or I know he's a great guy, but he's Spanish, and I want me a brother." You know, so it's like, okay, well, if you want a brother, then you're going to have to understand that, unfortunately, this brother has a lot to choose from now, because if he's straight and got a job, he's got every race of woman chasing him right now.
That's true. That's true. You ought to know, Carl, huh? You ought to know.
So
You're telling on yourself now.
So you better come correct, because otherwise, you know, you're going to have some serious, terrible lot of problems if you think you just going to come in there talking and scratching your neck. moving and saying, he got to accept me as I am. No,
you don't have to accept
as you are, to be honest with you. It's a different time. It's like the 60s, baby. So,
well, I know what you're thinking.
Don't say it. Do not say it on the radio. Do not say it. But anyway.
I'm not. But you do have a caller. I have someone that wants to ask you a question.
Uh-oh, I'm going to get hit now. I'm going to get hit.
No, you're not. You're not. I don't think so. Caller, you have a question for Carl. Are you there? They came in. They popped in. Maybe they're just listening. Okay, go ahead, Carl.
Okay. So, no, I mean, I think that there's, at the end of the day, it really comes down to really just being a good person. I think if you're a great person, the things that you desire will find themselves to you. But, yeah, this movie just really was just one story that I wanted to tell about a certain group. Or a certain type. It wasn't saying that every black woman can even relate to this movie. But I think that there are some, I think anybody that goes to see this film will get something out of it. I don't think it's derogatory at all. I think it's very respectful. I think it's a loving story. It's really a love story. I mean, I saw the movie last week for the first time after my editor, who's working on the film, finished the rough cut, and I love it. I mean, it's really, really good. It's better than I expected, to be honest with you.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, I want you to tell us what you want done, because I know you want people to flood the cinemas or like Regal Cinema or places like that, or Phantom, and tell them what, so that we can get this thing on the roll for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, the film is, you know, they're talking about it, advertising it on Regal Cinema's website, AMC website. Fandango has an alert. You can actually join the Strong Black Woman Fandango page. So if you go to Fandango.com, put in Strong Black Woman, and then just, you know, hit that tab that says, I'm in. And I'm in just basically lets the theaters know, it lets everybody know that, you know, you really want to see this film. And, you know, the more people that like it, the more screens we'll probably get. And if only 3 people like it, then that means you'll see this late at night on Showtime at 2 a.m.
or on DVD, huh? Or gone to DVD really quickly, huh?
Right, exactly. Like, what happened to that movie called Strong Black Woman? Whatever happened to that movie? So anything you guys can do to support, man, I'd be happy, man. I think it's a great story. I told one of my friends, I said, this might be the first and last black movie I do to tell you how to people respond to it. So I may start doing Spanish movies, man. I might start doing Indian movies.
No, you're not going to do that. You're going to keep on exploring. I can tell. You know, you are a mover and a shaker, and you're going to explore, and that's what we want to see. I want to see stuff like this, and I know you're going to do more of it. And any time that you want to come back on Breaking News Journal and talk about any of your projects, all the 7 that are in development and all the things that you're doing, just feel free to get in contact with me, and we will have you up and on the air live on Breaking News Journal so that you can talk about those things. And I look forward to us working together when we're talking about the film and TV stuff and everything, and sharing programs with each other.
I appreciate it. I really do. Glad you guys had me on. I really had a great time.
Okay. Look, be blessed. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Come shine, I meet you, and to me the world is fine. Then I kiss your lips, and the pounding becomes the ocean's roar. When you arouse the need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me. Proceed to tell you that you're marvelous, tell you that you're wonderful again, 'cause I've got you under my skin. And and I love you under my skin.